Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we are here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We are broadcasting from the El Pacifico, which is out here on the furthest western tip, the furthest western edge of the United States, out here on the Pacific Coast, where we, during our video pre-show, which you can join us for if you have a backstage pass to our website, we do our video cast each and every night, of course, of our radio show, which we're doing right now, but we have a 45-minute pre-show. And in that pre-show, we use every kind of vulgarity. We talk about every kind of sexual aberration. I'm kidding. Come on.
I don't think that's good for you to talk about.
Well, we don't talk about that, but we...
Don't talk about an aberration.
Right. And I think you've got people thinking you do.
Great. But we're not, and we don't, so let's move on. Let's just move on. So, no, during the pre-show, I was talking about Point Conception, which is the furthest western edge. It's not really. I mean, there are further western points on the Pacific coast, but in California, I think it might be one of the furthest western points. And if you go out there on a spring night when the winds are really hitting it perfect, you will see a night sky like you've never seen before in your life. You will see a night sky that begins at one horizon and goes all the way to the other, just absolute a blanket of stars. Milky Way, you know, you're looking at you're looking at the universe and shooting stars. I mean, dime a dozen.
Talk about a shooting star?
Yeah,
that's very rare.
It may be very rare in the regular sky, but you go out there, man. You'll get bored with how many shooting stars. You go, oh, there goes another one, all over the place.
Now, what is a shooting star? Isn't that a meteorite that's?
Yeah, a shooting star is some object, a meteor, that's burning up in the atmosphere, and that's what causes the flaming, you know...
Gay.
Flaming gay?
No. Is that what you're going to say?
No, I'm talking about a meteorite. Jesus. Oh. Just don't jump the gun on this stuff, bud, okay?
No, I'm kidding, man. I think everything because you said flaming is going to be gay.
Well, don't use the word, Phil.
I'm going to use the word flaming if he's going to leap to the conclusion that it's gay. I'm talking about the sky, bud. Are you telling me there's some gay guy burning up in the atmosphere?
If it's an astronaut or something, why not? Why couldn't it be?
Because only in your world, in your mind, would something like that happen. A gay astronaut burns up in the atmosphere. So in any event, if you go out there, which I hope I go out some night when you're nowhere to be found, bud, it's an amazing sky. And when we say the westernmost edge, we're not saying it like, you know, easternmost in quality, westernmost in flavor, like the...
Farmer John.
Yeah, not like Farmer John. We're talking about just the night sky and the beauty of the El Pacifico. Today, by the way, what a spectacular day. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. I mean, I went down the beach, and there were people out, and toward the jetty, there was a whole group of kids and adults, and they were having a ball. It looked like, when I say a group of kids and adults, it looked like there might have been four adults tops, and they had, I don't know, 30 kids. And this poor guy, he's waving T-shirts. They've got yellow flags. They're trying to pull the kids in to, I guess, have some lunch or something. But it was an unbelievably gorgeous day. The water was turquoise, and you don't really get that kind of a color out here in the Pacific unless the bottom is getting churned up by the waves. That's what was happening. It just creates this kind of turquoise color, and the sky was as clear as hell, or I should say clear as a bell, not clear as hell.
That's the wrong word there.
Hell conjures, whatever hell conjures, it's not clear.
Yeah, it's not clear at all.
Thank you very much, everybody. But it was clear, it was nice, and it was just a pleasure to be walking the beach there. And, you know, I'm in the middle of this. I'm not in the middle of it. As you guys who followed this diet I've been on since February of 2012. So it's over a year and 3 months, whatever. And I made my weight starting in February of 2012, February the 19th. Was it February or was it March?
I think it was March.
It was. It was March 19th. I started at 289 pounds. And on the day before Halloween, 2012, October 30th, I made 210, okay? So, which is roughly about 11 and a half pounds of loss a month. And now my new goal, since I've been kind of just riding around there at between 210 and 220, and I got up to 225 at one point, now my new goal is 200.
Yeah, but you were talking about if you lose all that weight, your face is going to fall down, you know?
What about your face? That's what everyone's wondering about.
Yeah.
What do you mean, what about my face?
The more weight you lose, Phil, the more your face is...
Yeah, your face is going to just go blue. It's going to sag down.
Yeah, see, right here, Mr. Henry. Don't put your hand on my neck. I see it.
Well, what are you going to do about your face? It's good to lose weight, Phil. God bless you. You've got to do something with your face.
Do you hear what you sound like?
Well, no, I'm telling... Phil's a very handsome man, or was.
Thank you.
But you've got to do... You can't keep losing the weight, Phil, and not do something with that kisser. And I'm quoting Frank. It's not me. That's what Frank said.
Yeah, Mr. Gray said, you tell Henry to do something with his kisser, otherwise it's more frightening as the days go by.
Oh, well, isn't that nice, Frank? Thanks a lot.
But, Mr. Henry, don't get all upset about it. You got to get your face, you know... You gotta get your face unstretched or something.
Yeah, I don't know what they do. Your face looks as if it's been stretched. Because of all the late... Well, it was stretched. Because of the weight that you had on, your face got stretched. Then you lost the weight, and your face just went, boo, you know?
God, you're making it sound like I've disfigured. I've got a normal face. No. But I did say that maybe I will have some cosmetic.
Go right here. See this? What you...
Put your hand on my neck, bud. You do it again, I'm going to belt you.
Didn't hit Robert.
I'll hit him, too. Yeah, I know my neck. Okay, so that's what's going to happen, okay? I ain't going to talk about this stuff.
Well, what about, you know, I really, Phil, if you could get on the show a podiatrist so we can talk about hammer toe and all of that stuff. Can we do that?
No, we cannot. No.
Why not?
Because I've heard those commercials and I don't want to do it.
Well, there's something for the women.
Yeah, that's really great. I'm not going to have... What, are you going to...
I'd like to get my feet worked on, yes. There's nothing sexier, girls, than getting your hammer toe taken care of. Well, what are you laughing at?
I don't know whether to laugh or cry. That's about the most...
Yeah, we're talking about hammer toe, fam. I don't want to talk about that.
Well, I'm talking about hammer toe. And also, girls, you can get your bunions shaved off.
Oh, God!
Cut it out! I had a jumbo pack of Wendy's fries. Now, I can't even finish it.
Let me have them.
You gonna eat them now?
I'll eat them during the break. Margaret, come on.
Well, this is something that's important to girls. You're talking about having your face taken care of. I'm talking about our bunions and hammer toe.
Oh, God! Just talk about it somewhere else.
What a baby.
Maybe I am, you know. I mean, I know that I'm listening to the show, like Morning Drive Radio here in L.A., and it's probably, maybe it's the same wherever you guys are. There's a couple of these morning shows. They've got the female who is either the news or the weather or the you know, co-host or the host, and she's talking about having her feet taken care of. Hey, girls, get your game back, you know.
That's right. That's right. I want to get some game. I want to get my game straight. I want to get my game tight. All right?
Okay.
Well, don't look at Phil. You know, I'm getting my game tight by going to Dr. So-and-so, the podiatrist, and having my hammer toe and bunions taken care of. My game will be tight.
Yeah, that's real great.
What are you talking about?
I'll give you an example.
What? Here. What if a guy is going to go pick a girl up on a date?
All right.
And before he gets there, she goes, I got my game tight. I got my hammer toe taken care of. You think that guy's going to even stop at her house? He'll keep right on going to where they can throw up. He'll go right for the next toilet.
You know what? You ought to be ashamed of yourself for endorsing that.
Oh, come on. It's funny.
That's what the guy's going to do.
It's funny. And he's right. He's absolutely right. Guy's waiting for a girl. All he needs is to think about that, you know.
Well, let her think about you getting your sagging face unstretched.
Yeah, I've got to get your face, you know, like stuffed.
Yeah, if you get your face restuffed.
Okay, fine. Next girl I go out with after that, I'll say, hey, by the way, I got my face restuffed. I'm on my way to your house. Oh.
I just think it's a terrible shame. There's so many girls out there, yes, who do suffer from hammer toe. Yes.
What is hammer toe?
That's none of your business.
I'd like to know what hammer toe is.
That's none of your business.
Will you tell me?
None of your business.
Well, then we're not going to talk about it. We'll be right back, folks. We've got a lot coming up here on the show tonight. We have Dr. Ron Tarner, who is going to return to his baby talk debating technique tonight with Vernon Dozier. We also have Bud, you're continuing your audition for NFL Films.
Yeah, on an NFL film on a highlight reel.
So Bud Dickman continues his audition for the NFL film job. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Go on,
Truth
hit over there.
Yeah, is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Bill Henry Show.
All right. Welcome back here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Whoa, you just spilt my Red Bull, bud.
Yeah, well, it's 10 calories, not a 0-1.
All right. Doesn't mean that I'm not drinking it. All right. I wanted to, just before we move on, this is a fascinating story that I was just able to just briefly look at, and these doctors saved this little boy. They printed an airway tube. Now, do you know what I'm talking about?
Not in the least, no.
I don't even know what I'm talking about, but nonetheless, I was trying to find it over here so we could show at least a picture of this lad to the audience. He's a smart-looking young lad here with his dog.
But did he go in for the surgery?
Yeah, they took him in. Well, it's a medical first.
No, but I mean, he went in with his dog.
No, man, he didn't take himself in.
What, do you think he just checked himself in?
Well, there is a picture of him and a dog.
How's a 3-year-old boy going to check himself into a hospital?
I don't know.
Figure it out, Jack. They posed the kid. Okay, so there he is with his dog. The dog, maybe the dog drove him, you know?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. A dog drove him, maybe checked him in, and went back to the car for some kibble.
Boy, you're serious, aren't you?
Phil, when are you going to recognize that running a Goodwill Industries for interns is not where it's at, all right? It ain't getting the bills paid.
What's that mean, Goodwill Industries?
Never mind. In a medical first, doctors use plastic particles and a 3D laser printer to create an airway splint to save the life of a baby boy who used to stop breathing nearly each and every day. It's the latest advance from the booming field of regenerative medicine, making body parts in the lab. In the case of Kaliba Gonfrido, doctors...
What country is he from?
We'll find out, bud. In the case of Akea Gonfrido, doctors didn't have a moment to spare. Because of a birth defect, the little Ohio boy's airway kept collapsing, causing his breathing to stop and often his heart, too. Doctors in Michigan had been researching artificial airway splints, but had not implanted one in a patient as of yet, but in a single day, they printed out 100 tiny tubes using computer-guided lasers to stack and fuse thin layers of plastic instead of paper and ink to form various shapes and sizes. How about that? The next day, with a special permission from the Food and Drug Administration, they implanted one of these tubes in, this child's name is Kaiba. In Kaiba, the first time this has been done, suddenly, a baby that doctors had said would probably not leave the hospital alive could breathe normally for the first time. He was 3 months old when the operation was done last year and is nearly 19 months old now. He's about to have his tracheotomy tube removed. It was placed when he was a couple of months old and needed a breathing machine, and he has not had a single breathing crisis since coming home a year ago. He's a pretty healthy kid right now, said Dr. Glenn Green, a pediatric ear, nose, and throat specialist at C.S. Mott Children's Hospital at the University of Michigan.
In, what is that, Ass Harbor?
What's Ass Harbor?
Ann Arbor. Ass Harbor?
It looks like Ass Harbor. Did they blur?
You know where Ann Arbor, Michigan is, don't you?
Yes.
Well, then why would you say Ass Harbor?
Because that's what... Let me tell you why. Frank went to Michigan. Nuff said.
Well, what's that mean?
Well, they think their football team is so great, this, that. So I would go to him. I'd say, well, Frank, are you going back to Ass Harbor this year for the ball game? And I'd see him pick a chair up and then put it down. That's all he would do. He'd pick it up, then he'd see who he's married to, and then he'd put it down.
Wait a minute. You tell me he's going to brain you with a chair?
You think that's funny?
I think it's funny that he picks a chair. I think it's funny that he picks a chair up. Where are you going?
As soon as you find the abusive women not funny anymore, Phil, I'll come back.
What are you, in the bathroom?
Well, what do you think?
Yeah, she got upset about women's abuse.
Yeah.
About women's abuse? I wasn't laughing about women abuse. I was it's your husband.
Whatever.
He's the guy that picked the chair up. So in any event, this little boy, his life saved by this incredibly creative work by these doctors at the University of Michigan. Good job, guys. And I thought it was beautiful. It's a beautiful thing, man. Medicine and the advances in medicine, it's a whack deal. And that's what we were just talking about, you know, whether you're going to have your face refitted or whatever the hell you're going to have done. Get your hammer toe fixed.
What do you think is more important? Well, I know it's more important. You probably want to get the hammer toe first.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
If your kid have, well...
If your kid has a breathing problem and you're going in for your hammer toe?
Yeah, if you only had, enough money for one or the other. You'd have the kid fixed and everything.
Of course you would. You wouldn't even think about that.
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, if the kid, he survived... Think about it. If the kid survived stopping breathing, you could go in and get a hammer toe and then come out and reassess.
I would not put any child of mine through that any longer than he have to, okay? I don't care if I've got the worst-looking feet in the history of the world.
Well, what's their likelihood on a man to be a hammer toe?
Bud, you ought to learn English. What's the likelihood of a man to have hammer toe? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Then you probably wouldn't have hammer toe.
We're talking a hypothetical here. If I had hammer toe, I would not go in and have surgery done or whatever they do at the podiatrist so I could get my game tight.
I'm really sick and tired of being laughed at behind my back.
Well, then come on in here and be laughed at in your face.
What are you saying?
We're talking about whether you're going to go in and have your hammer toe taken care of, or are you going to have surgery that will save a child's life?
Well, is it this baby that we're talking about?
The little boy that had the breathing stopping, yeah.
If he's had his breathing interrupted repeatedly over the first year, then of course you're going to assess, well, I can go in, and yes, in your words, Phil, I can get my game tight, I can get my hammer toe taken care of, if you've got a date, if you have a social engagement. Then you come out and see if the child... See, when you make me explain this, you make me sound like a callous C-word, and that's not what I am.
Well, all right, but you're the one who's actually trying to figure out now, are you going to have your hammer toe taken care of, or are you going to have this baby taken care of? That's what you're doing. I'm not doing it. You're doing it.
Yes, and?
And I think the audience is pretty much drawing the conclusion that you're heartless, that you're selfish.
I beg your... I almost lost my life giving birth to Jason J. Delmonico.
Yeah, you're always saying that. But, you know, so...
What do...
Take it easy, Margaret. You're the one that brought it up. You're talking about... You're going to go get your hammer toe taken care of.
Can we not talk about as if I've got hammer toe? Which, yes, I do.
Are you going to go get your game tight? Well, are you?
Yes.
Who are you going to see?
Dr. Smelling.
Dr. Smelling? That guy, he got run out of 3 states on account of he messed up a guy's foot.
Dr. Smelling went back and got reboard certified, and all of what Bud's talking about... That happened in Kansas, and that was a part of a larger problem they had with the state-run clinics. I won't...
And this guy gets run out of Kansas and run out of...
Yeah, the guy got run out of about anywhere from three to two states.
Anywhere from 3 to 2 states, is that right?
Yeah. And anyway, they run him out on a rail. Comes to California, next thing you know, you get everybody's game tight. And no one knows, you're going to come out of there with your foot all jacked up, I swear to God.
Yeah, I'll probably do it.
Well, I'm not getting one foot worked on, I'm getting 2.
Yeah, but what if you come out with only 1 foot jacked up?
What? Can I please hit him?
No, you may not hit him. Bud, you sound like you are as dumb as they get. You come out of there with 1 foot jacked up. She, Margaret, don't mean to point at you, is going to go and have her foot taken care of by this guy, Dr. Smelling. And it wasn't the big scandal you're making it up. He'd get run out of the states.
Well, I know he got run out of Nevada.
Okay, from what?
He kited a check at a casino.
Well, that's got nothing to do with it. He did?
Yeah.
Boy, that takes some guts. That's got nothing to do with his medical practice.
Yeah, he definitely was he was hanging paper up there.
You hang paper on a casino in Vegas? Oh, ha, ha, ha. That's beautiful. All right, we'll be right back with more. We've got, Bud, are you going to do your audition?
Yeah, I'm going to do the audition on the NFL.
Coming up, world-famous Phil Henry Show. The guy's hanging paper in Vegas. That's smart.
October the 1st of 1961, the Green Bay Packers took the field at Lambeau Field. Vince Labardeur was the coach. On first down, Bart Starr rolls to his right and throws a strike to the wide receiver, Mickey McGee. Going down the far sideline, he's tackled out of bounds by a Detroit Lion by the name of Tom Gubler. On third down, which is, there was also a first and a second down, but they...
Okay, now see, you don't want to say that.
No. Why not?
Because you don't say, oh, there's also first and second down, but we're not going to show it to you. Just say on third down.
Yeah, you don't want to tell the fans.
Here, let me just do it, okay? Because I got... You're getting down to crunch time on this deal here.
Okay, man, do you want to get the job?
I say you let him just butcher it alive so he'll learn. You'll learn, bud. Don't worry about it.
I'm going to get the job, and then you'll be all crying about it.
Yeah, right.
Okay, roll again, will you? Hey, you, roll it again.
What are you talking to me about like that, man?
I'm sorry.
Don't say, hey, you. God, bud, you're already getting an ego on you.
Well, you know, all I'm going to say is, do you guys want to come with me on these things I'm going to do or not?
Well, get a load of Ace Rothstein. Am I going to come with you in the things you want to do?
If I score this job, don't you understand? Everybody's going to be rolling in it. It'll be steak and bacon.
Bud, don't be...
And you, just let me... Just hold on, Ms. Gray. And you, Robert, you will be my engineer.
Big deal, man. I'd rather stay back here and be your engineer. Be like working on a farm again, man. I don't need to be back on Parchment Farm.
That's not going to be slavery. You'll be rolling in it. Steak and bacon.
Yeah, you said that already. Can we get back to this?
All right, go ahead. The San Diego Chargers had a date with destiny. When they came down to the stadium that day, they knew they had to win. Dan Fouts was a quarterback and everything, and he led the San Diego Chargers. Only they were not in the San Diego Stadium. They went to the Cincinnati Stadium instead. But they do play in San Diego, as is what they do.
Wait a minute. What is that, an ad lib?
Yeah, I mean, people want to know they're from San Diego.
Well, you don't have to say they play in a stadium in San Diego. Everybody's going to assume that.
Yeah, they're talking about, man, you know, where'd they play the game?
They played it in Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, huh?
Oh, my God.
Well, sorry, I mean Cincinnati.
That's what you got to start right there, man. The San Diego Chargers came down to the stadium that they play in, but not now.
You sound worse than me.
Yeah, you're right, because I can't make head or tail out of that. The other thing, what are you doing with the music?
I got to get going. Then it was all in the hands of Boomer Esiason, as Boomer Esiason connected on Chris Collinsworth, and it was a 30-yard TD run. A cold weather at the stadium that day caused a lot of guys to have frostbite and probably a nose. Can you imagine if a nose dropped off or something? That's probably what happened on that day.
Wait a minute. Wait.
What?
You can't make stuff up like that.
Well, I mean, it stands to reason.
Yeah, man, but you got to figure out if it really did happen. You're talking about a guy had his nose drop off.
Are you saying, was it that cold?
This game, yes, it was very cold. It was like a wind chill of 50 below.
Well, then, do you know that someone's nose came off?
No, but it stands to reason.
Bud, if you say stands to reason one more time, you can't assume anything. Like the old saying, when you assume, it makes an ass out of you and me.
What?
Never mind. All right, let's try it again. And this time, what do we got going on there?
Got David on line two. I'll see. I don't know if you want to talk to David or not. And then we also have on line three, Joe Dickhead.
I'm going to talk to Joe Dickhead. Hold on for a minute. Let me get him on the phone. Yeah, hey, Dickhead? Yeah, Bud. I don't care. They're sitting here breaking my cast tonight.
Give me that phone. Hey, Joe. Well, give him some pointers, okay? I mean, because this is, as he said, it's coming down to crunch time. I don't know. Turn the music off so I can get Joe up on the air here. Joe Dickhead, how you doing, Joe?
I'm doing very well, and I want to talk to Bud. Listen to me, and listen very carefully, because I'm only going to say this once, all right? You've got to read the copy the way it's written. If you start coming off sounding like a gloid, my God, they will mark you as a gloid, and they'll think that the whole, here they go, Steve Sable, or whoever, Steve Sable's gone, but whoever is in charge of NFL Films, they have got to go, speaking of Goodwill Industries, they're hiring people off of park benches. Do you understand?
Yeah, I understand, but I mean, it's better if I do it ad-lib.
No, it is not better if you do it ad-lib. You don't want to ad-lib at all. You understand what I'm saying? Now, here's how I do it. It was 1981, his dad and father from the San Diego Chargers took the field there at the Bengals Stadium. What's the name of the stadium there, Phil?
Well, they were at Riverfront.
Is that the stadium now?
No, that was back then.
All right. 1981, his dad and father from the San Diego Chargers took the field at Riverfront Stadium. It was the AFC Championship. It wasn't 81, though. It was 82.
It was in the 81 season, 82, yeah.
Well, get it straight.
Yeah, see, I got the copy wrong here.
It was 1982, January. As the San Diego Chargers took the field, but, you know what? I'm running out of gas. I'm going into the doctor here. This is the only time I'm in the emergency room. I haven't had a bowel movement in 3 days, and I can't breathe. I think they're going to have to print out. If they can print out a trachea for me, that'd be fantastic.
You're in an emergency room.
Yeah, I haven't eaten. I can't. I don't want. I will eat, but I'm hungry. But I don't want to eat until I have a bowel movement. I'm sure you understand. Keep it on here, okay? Is that Grey's Anatomy? Because I...
Get out of here, will you? All right, do it.
But...
Do the thing, man. Do it. What have you got?
On third down, the ball was given to the big, burly running back, Icky Wood. And he Icky... hold on. Is the guy's name Icky Wood?
What does it say?
Pete Johnson.
Well, then say Pete Johnson!
Yeah, I know. I know it's accurate.
You have to read the copy the way it's written, you ass.
Mm.
Go ahead.
On third down, running a big, wide sweep, Pete Johnson, a big, burly running back of the Cincinnati Bengals, busts through for the touchdown. Hey.
Okay, let me say something to you, bud. First of all, do you mind?
Yeah.
First of all, don't cheer yourself, man.
I figure that's the unique part of it.
Yeah, you're right. It is unique. It also sounds really weird, okay? It just sounds weird. I mean, Pete Johnson, he sweeps the end. He goes in for the touchdown. Yay! You know, you sound like you're mental, okay? Just don't do it. Let it be assumed that the audience is cheering. Let it be assumed that this is an exciting... The music carries the drama of the moment, see?
What are you doing your hands there? Looks. I'm frightened. Do you use hand lotion?
Just do it. What was that? All right, here we go. What that sounded like somebody hit a key on a keyboard. All right, Bud Dickman.
The cold gray skies over Lamboon Field. It was October, and Brett Favre and the Green Bay Packers are always at home in October. Yeah. Coming into Lamboon Field are the Chicago
Bears,
in an early season meeting of these divisional rivalries. Favre immediately gives the ball to fullback William Henderson. He finds a hole, and he breaks into the backfield of the Chicago Bear, rambling down to around the 51-yard line.
Hold on. There's no 51-yard line, man.
What's that?
That's the 49-yard line.
But the 49 on the other side.
What do you mean a 49 on the other side? That's 49, that's 50, that's 51.
That ain't 51, man. That's 49. You're going back the other way. See, that's their end of the field. 50 is the midfield.
I don't know. I think you guys are screwing it up.
Yeah, that's right, man. You go ahead and say 51-yard line. I guarantee you won't get the job.
A long pass down the middle of the field is caught by It's a touchdown for the Green Bay Bears, the Chicago Packer. Chicago Pecker? You guys are looking at me. You don't look too promising.
No, it's not very good.
Yeah, I think you're in trouble, man.
Bud, I'll be kind. I think you have potential. I really do. I think you have potential as a bus driver.
Did I get on a bullhorn?
Yes. Bud, say this. And on the right is the East River.
On the right is the East River.
You've got the job in my book.
Go ahead. Finish it out.
And then his leg was busted in 6 places. Hey.
There you go with that A again, man.
My God, that's very dramatic, isn't it?
Yeah, that's Sam Spence who did all that music for the National Football League. And so they're making that music available now commercially so people can buy that. And
well, I mean, do you sit around at your house and listen to that?
I use it for production purposes. I don't know, of a regular guy.
Yeah, just a regular, what do they do?
Yeah, they'll listen to it and go, you know, and get, you know, excited.
They listen to it and get excited? Oh, I don't want to know.
Margaret, it's a nice memory for a lot. I remember this music was the music they used in the 60s on the highlight films, you know, and they've brought it back. They've brought it back, and it's very nostalgic for a lot of people. Bud, I don't know, man. Robert, what do you think?
Well, man, you got to work on it, man. You can't be ad-libbing. You ad-lib, especially your ad-libs suck, man.
What are you talking about? My ad-lib? Your ad-libs suck just as bad.
I'm not the guy going for the job. I think I'll ad-lib, man, the Chicago Packers and the Green Bay Bear.
Well.
And the 40, 51-yard line, man, none of that stuff exists, man. You will not get a job if you do that.
He's right. Read it the way it's written. Don't ad-lib. And don't make assumptions about the 51-yard line. You're going to sound like a... Did I ever tell you the story of the guy that... this is a true story. There's a guy in Des Moines, Iowa. And he's a sales guy. He's going to the local radio station there to sell them, I think, printer supplies or something like that. Office supplies. And as he's demonstrating the office supplies for the office manager at this radio station in Des Moines... I think the general manager or the program director can hear this guy's voice, and he's got the most fantastic voice. And he's like, and here is how the printer... Something about this guy impressed the program director. Said, have you ever been on the radio before? He says, no, I haven't, you know. You can imagine the guy's voice must have been fantastic. And he says, you sound great. I'd love to have you on the air as kind of a live audition. Have you ever read news before? Well, I'd love to try. Okay. The guy comes back, I think, the next day. Now he's coming back as a potential employee. He's got to do the 5 minutes of news there at the top of the hour. They've got it all laid out for him. All he has to do is read it. They're handing it to him. They're pushing the buttons. All he has to do is read. And the first thing out of this guy's mouth, today, the Des Moines City Council.
What a jackass.
He's kidding. What'd he do?
Des Moines? Des Moines.
Oh, is that how? Oh.
That's how it's spelled. So right out of the gate, the guy blew it because he may have a great voice, but he can't read. Do you understand what we're saying now?
I didn't say Des Moines.
You said Green Bay Bears. That's good enough. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show coming up next hour. It's going to be Dr. Ron Tarner and Vernon Dozier. Part 2 of the baby talk debates with Dr. Tarner and the technique that he has developed in... applying a debating skill and throwing your opponent off in a debate. 877-876-PHIL, philhenryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
In a Green Bay Bear Packer.
Yeah, it's Green Bay Packer, man. That's stupid.
Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back, folks. It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. A couple things in the news. The Cartoon Network lawsuit. Ad agency sues over annoying orange. A Cartoon Network lawsuit is making some strange news headlines this evening. UPI reported on Wednesday, May 22nd, that would be today, soon to be tomorrow, that a, North Dakota? That an ad agency has recently filed a lawsuit against a show on Cartoon Network over the use of the annoying orange in connection to the previous... Bud, where is it?
I don't know.
Oh, God, man. Well, we got to find this, okay? I've got half the story here. But it has something to do with this annoying orange. I guess they came up with it, and now Cartoon Network is using it? Is that what the claim is? The annoying orange? Have you seen this? Here's a picture of it for you viewers on Phil TV. It sure as hell looks like the most grotesque thing. It looks like an orange with really bad yellow teeth. Oh, God.
Yeah, that's the annoying orange.
Well, what is the annoying orange?
We're going to find out, the annoying orange. But in any event, there's a lawsuit happening. And I tell you something about animation. Now, I'm not going to sit here and start talking about myself, but I think I will. There are opportunities in animation, and we're out there. Myself and my partner, Angela Frame, she worked on Lord of the Rings with her husband. They're both animators, and she went down to New Zealand. Man, did I tell you this?
Oh.
She was down in New Zealand along with her husband, and God knows how many other animators and technical people that know many of the finer points of animation. And we're talking in a world that I don't know. I said, well, what did you do, Angela? She said, well, we did textures, we did background. What is that? I don't know. But there was a whole slew of Americans that went down to the studios there in New Zealand. And I said, what was that like? She said, we had a ball, you know. She said, I think when they were working on it, though, the weather was not all that great, but she's got a great deal of background doing this. And in any event, we're out and we have some animation ideas that we've been talking to people about. And the word is that the animation, shall we say, format or medium is very, very popular. They want more animated product. A lot of these companies now have their in-house animation. They're doing their animation in-house. So I went to a company out in Burbank over the past week that they have all their animators in-house. Their animation is done in-house.
Were you telling me these were originally being done in Korea?
A lot of them were done in South Korea. Yeah, a lot of them. Simpsons, I think, was done in South Korea. I don't know how many are still being done there. Maybe a lot. But, now that these companies have in-house animation, you're not sending it off to Korea. It doesn't have to take a year. It can take less than a year. Some of these animators can turn it around faster. South Park has a turnaround, I think, of like 2 weeks. So it's a lot easier to obviously get it done closer to home. And more and more of these, the different techniques that are being used, different formats, it's getting turned around faster. And so into the fray, we waltz.
You gonna do a cartoon?
We hope.
Well, this looks like it might be as more promising than anything that you've done. I think, personally, that's what you should do. I think that's what you should do.
Well, I mean, I want to do it all.
No. Don't, Phil, don't fool around with the rest of it. I don't think they use you properly when you're doing your, when you're doing your acting. I know that I was speaking with David. Get David Hall, please.
Margaret, can I direct the show?
Get David Hall, please.
Yes, ma'am.
What do you mean, yes, ma'am?
Just hold on. I think that in many different ways that... David, is that you?
Yeah, what's up?
But what are you doing?
I'm at a... It's nothing. We're sitting and we're enjoying a pond.
You're enjoying a pond?
Yes, Daphne and I. What's up?
David, I want to ask you about Phil doing animation. Do you think that's... Never mind, just...
Yeah, I'm at a pond right now. I can't,
What do you mean you're at a pond?
It's none of your business.
Well, he hung up. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, David, if you're listening. I shouldn't have interrupted you.
Why did we bring him on?
Because I said to him earlier that we might call.
And he was at a pond. But is everybody taking a cue from Steve Bozell on that?
Yeah, he's the only guy I know that has been at a pond.
Well, not the only guy you know at a pond.
No, I mean that. I mean...
He's the only guy you've heard interviewed sitting at a pond? I what is up with the pond?
It's a place... They're using the Bozell... Isn't that the man's name, Steve Bozell?
Steve Bozell.
Well, he said the name is Bodell or Bodine.
Is it a pond that a guy's property, right?
Yes.
That's Steve Bozell.
That's not my understanding.
Yeah, it is Steve Bozell, not Steve Bodine. Well, I don't know anybody about Bodell or Bodine.
Well, in any event, he was there. He's relaxing. He said that the owner of the pond relaxes there.
Yeah, that's Steve Bozell.
And I said, well, I'd like to call you and talk about Phil's career in animation. And he went, yeah, yeah, sure, sure. And now I find out that he didn't really mean it.
Well, often when people say, yeah, yeah, sure, sure, they don't mean it. Why do you need to talk to him about it?
I just wanted to get some endorsement from him because I think that's the future for you. I think you should be doing animated projects. I think the rest of it is a lot of folderol. What are you going to do? Are you going to do a sitcom or something like that?
Look, Margaret, I'll do anything to make a living, you know? That's the world we're living in right now. I'll do anything to make a living. I'll go anywhere. I won't just because I can see Bud formulating a joke. I didn't mean anywhere and anything.
Well, you almost said it.
Yeah. But I will go anywhere and do anything. But I agree, if we can land an animated thing, that would be a beautiful thing.
Boy, Mr. Allen, I'll tell you, if you do an animated show, that'd be the funniest one on TV.
Yeah, that's totally true. Everybody I know says that it would be.
Well, I for once have to agree with these two imbeciles and say that, yes, that's the move to make. That's the play. As Frank likes to say, yeah, yeah, that's the play. So that's the play.
All right, that's the play. That's the play.
Well, don't blow it off, Phil, because this...
I'm not blowing it off. We're going to take a break, but we're not blowing it off. We never blow anything off here. All we do is take breaks. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show where we never blow anything off. We just say, excuse me, for a few minutes. We'll be right back. Next hour, we've got Dr. Ron Tarner and Vernon Dozier, and the baby talk debates resume. That's the most asinine thing that I've ever heard in my life. You know,
I've been pretty good.
What's wrong with it?
Mr. Henry?
Phil Hendry.